Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Darkness is gone, and new hope has arisen for each of us. We are forgiven. We are blessed. We are marked by God as disciples, which means God has entrusted us with God's own message of hope. So let our hearts and our spirits say, 'Come, Spirit of God, rest upon us now in this place, and enable us to be people of hope and peace.'" It is a joy to be gathered in this place, asking the Spirit to come upon us and to look around at our friends who have become family, brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that we are on this journey of hope and peace together. As a family who journeys together, we not only serve together or study together, but we also pray with and for one another. And there's some requests I'd like to share with you all here this morning. One is to rejoice that our students, graduates and undergraduate students, are back on campus. And I think that that is a really good thing for them. I hope that God is with them in their studies, and it is a good thing for us. So welcome back, students. Also, we are rejoicing that Clementine Johnson has gotten to come home from the hospital, but we continue to pray for a strong immune system for her and for her family to keep her healthy through a series of treatments, and pray that you would give, God would give them peace. Pray for Diane Asbell, who is going to be having surgery tomorrow. We continue to pray for Jane Hollingsworth, who was at home recovering from surgery on Friday. Of course, we see Vicki is still recovering from her surgery. And we pray for Martha Parton and for her health. And we lift Phil and Martha up in praise for the birth of their grandchild. It's a special time to celebrate new life and the healing of life that we have, and to remember the voices of children that we hear right now, which means that life is busy and going on all around us. Will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, your word of life and hope floods into our lives. We, God, have lived in darkness, at times in despair and fear, doubt and strife. But on this day of celebration, you remind us that we are marked by you to be witnesses to your light of new hope. As the heavens opened at Jesus' baptism, so is your love poured out upon us. And we have brought before you names and situations which concern us, people who face illness and grief. Let us remember also those whose lives are torn apart by poverty, war, alienation, and hopelessness. We ask for your loving mercy on them, O Lord. Heal them and bind up their wounds. Help us to be people who are ready to be involved in ministries of peace and justice, bringing the light of your hope to those who dwell in darkness and despair. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I'll invite the children of our church to gather with me on the busy streets carpet down in front for a children's message. All right, everybody, make sure you're on the carpet, because I've got a lot of things to show you this morning. Do you guys know what I have in this picture? I'll answer that in just a minute. All right, this is a pitcher full of water. Yeah, but water is good for a lot of good things. And I'm going to tell you, there was a man named John the Baptizer, which meant that he baptized people with water. What he would do is remind them that water cleans and that they could return to a clean and good life that they had before. Let me show you an example.
Look at this.
Water.
Yep. Let's see.
Water.
Abby, will you hold this for me?
It's a glass.
Okay. Yep, we're going to. Alrighty.
Look, it's shreds.
It was a little bit of grape jelly. But look. What did it do? That water cleaned that bowl.
So John would baptize people in the same kind of water this was. And just like that bowl was made clean, he would tell people that they were made clean. And then John the Baptizer had a cousin. Do you guys know the cousin's name? Jesus, very good. John's cousin Jesus came to John one day and he said, "My cousin, I have been busy with my carpentry and I need to be baptized, but not just to be made clean so I can go back to be a carpenter." He said, "We're going to do something new." And so John says, "I'm not sure if I am worthy to do this," but Jesus reminded him that he was. And he said, "We are going to do a new thing. We're going to say that this water doesn't only, it is in the Bible, that this water doesn't just make us clean, but it helps us do new things." And Arena is reminding me that in the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit in the water that's helping us do new things. So can you think of some new things that you can do with water other than clean? You can paint. Drink the water, it helps our bodies get strong. Do you want to take some water? You know what else you can do with water? Look, I can water this plant and help it continue to grow. And if you keep a plant watered well, do you know what it will do? It will grow, but it will blossom and make new seeds and grow more plants. So Jesus, upon his baptism, I'll give you all water in just a minute. At Jesus' baptism, John put him in the water, and he came up, and the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus, and Jesus said, "From now on, baptism isn't just about going back to the good life you had, but it's about starting a new life." And you know what Jesus started doing after his baptism? He began teaching people all about God and healing people. He was able to do a new thing after his baptism. And he says that after our baptisms, we can do a new thing too. We can participate. We can help teach people about God. And we can do good things that God has for us. Will you guys pray with me? I'll give you all water. Can I have praying hands? Dear God, you have taught these children what good things come from water, and they're asking for water, and I pray, God, that they ask for you the way they're asking for this water. God, you have given us Jesus as an example, and we thank you for the example that Jesus gave us going into the water of baptism, but coming out to do a new life of good work for you, God. I pray that these children will go through the waters of baptism and into a life of good work for you. Let us start on that path today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, all children, we're going to go to worship lab and have our cups of water there. So if you'll stand up and go out that door, we'll go to worship lab.
Good morning. I'll be reading the scripture for this morning as printed in the bulletin. I will start with Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Now to verse 19. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Heavenly Father, we've heard the stories from the scripture shared. We pray now that you would take those stories and write your word on our hearts, that your word would take hold of our lives, and we would dive in to the light, walking in the light, following Jesus, living out the word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It doesn't matter what your job is. Are you a student? Is your work being a student trying to graduate, or a young adult new in the workforce? Or are you climbing in your career, ready to reach the peak where you're at your highest height? Or has your career taken a sideways turn, a difficult turn, and you've given up on career ambitions? Now you're just trying to work, make ends meet, and get to retirement. Or are you into retirement? And if you are, how's that going? It doesn't matter. Where we are in life doesn't matter. When we walk in the light, we are near to God. Being close to God, we have real joy. And even if life is hard, we have grace and hope. So, how do we have a close relationship with God? That's the point of this whole sermon series of walking in the light. Last week's truth: if we look for God, we'll find him. If we constantly seek, we will meet God in our everyday lives. So, in 2019, commit to discipline, spiritual practices that heighten your awareness of God. One example, take a notebook, take it with you everywhere you go, and write down every God thought you have throughout the day. At the end of each day, review what you've written and pray. Ask God to reveal himself to you in those moments. Disciplines of awareness. Carry the word grace written down on a card with you all the time. The word grace, just a simple word on a card. And then when someone angers you and you start to react to the anger, pull the card out. Look at it hard. Pray hard. Remember those moments when God has given you grace, and in that moment where everything in you wants to lash out in anger, maybe justifiably so, ask God to help you give grace. At the end of each week, review moments when grace invaded your anger. Meet God in those moments. Disciplines of awareness. Take pictures of things that you see that make you think of God or make you think maybe God is in this place. I mean, we all have, our phones have cameras. Just shoot pictures where you think God is here doing something. And then once every 30 days, scroll through those pictures. Review those places where you've seen God at work. Meet God in those moments. When we see the light, we can step into it and walk in it. Last week was about seeking the light and seeing the light and seeing God in the light. Today's discipline is walking in the light. We obey God throughout our lives. God won't force his will on us. This is a choice. He lets us choose to be disciples and choose to live under his rule. And as we do, he walks with us and blesses us. Three specific decisions need to be made by anyone who desires to walk in the light. First, we've got to decide that God is the absolute authority in our lives. Second, we have to know what God says. If God's the authority, we've got to know what God is telling us. We know by reading the Bible and learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Third, we decide life with God is worth the cost. And there will be a cost. So we decide God is the authority. We decide we're going to know what God has to say by looking into the Bible and listening to the Spirit. And we decide that once we know what God has said, we're going to obey and follow because doing so is worth the cost. Joseph, the earthly follower of Jesus, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, as Heather mentioned, and the prophet who paved the way for him, and Jesus himself, each modeled the obedience of a life lived under God's authority. When Joseph decided to stay with Mary and be her husband, he didn't know a woman could become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That had never happened before. He had never heard of that. He did not understand that she was carrying in her womb the Son of God. What he knew was God told him to marry her, and he did. God told him, there's danger. You've got to flee to Egypt. He didn't know anyone in Egypt. He probably had never been to Egypt. But he packed up their recently acquired gold, frankincense, and myrrh and took Mary and the baby Jesus to Egypt. When God told him the danger was past, he believed. He was still afraid. Both can be true. He was afraid to come back to Israel. He believed that the danger was still there, but God said, go back. And he returned to Israel. John modeled the same obedience as he preached fiery sermons, calling people out in their sins, telling the community that traveled long distances out to hear him preach, they had to repent and receive forgiveness
And John hammered this point home. He was such a hardcore preacher of repentance that he enraged King Herod, who imprisoned John and then executed him. John never wavered in the message because he knew that whatever happened, he was saying what God wanted him to say. And Jesus. Jesus modeled obedience. He did not want to go to the cross. Read about his experiences at the end of the Gospel of Luke, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking God for another way to accomplish this goal. He didn't want this, but Jesus knew God's plan, and he went through with it obediently. That's what obedience is. Doing what God says, even when we don't understand it. Even when we don't understand why, we don't understand, see the big picture, we obey. And maybe even tougher is when we obey and we absolutely do understand what God wants us to do, and we don't want to do it. We think it's going to be hard, uncomfortable, but we do it anyway. Each of these heroes of faith decided to obey God. If we believe God's authority is absolute, we've got to know what God's instructions are. And you start just by reading the basics in the Bible. Know the Ten Commandments. Go through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Read what Jesus says there. Contemplate the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Carry around the list of virtues that are mentioned different places in Paul's letters. Read everything Jesus said about caring for the poor. That's just as important as those Ten Commandments. Start with Matthew chapter 25 and then go through the entire Gospel of Luke. We must know the content of a disciple's life, the things that we're supposed to do and not do. Knowing the Bible is a starting point for obedient living. The rubber meets the road when we've studied and then in our daily interactions with people try to live by what we read. The Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, God present with us, helps us. Joseph was surely tempted to leave Mary when he found out that she was pregnant and he knew he wasn't the father. He was a decent man, willing to let her go discreetly, but gentle or not, the temptation was to push her away. The Spirit helped Joseph obey the message of the angel and marry her. John was undoubtedly tempted to fear Herod. And fear is a temptation. It's one we give into a lot and don't think of as a temptation. He was tempted to fear Herod, but in spite of the fear, he obeyed. He said what God told him to say. Letting fear guide us instead of faith is a real temptation. A lot of people are called to go on mission trips, but resist that call because they're afraid. Afraid it's too expensive or afraid it's dangerous to travel to other countries. If you feel in your gut God is calling you to something and resist because you're afraid, that's disobedience. John knew Herod would probably kill him for his preaching, yet he openly critiqued the king when the king's marriage violated God's law. Have you ever felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak out about your faith in a situation with a friend or a co-worker, to share your faith verbally, openly, publicly? Did you resist because you're afraid you might look stupid or stumble over your words or the person would reject you, maybe stop being your friend? Walking in the light involves making the decision to risk speaking and looking like a fool or risk going, even to dangerous places, because we trust the nudge of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, and living in a right relationship with God is more important than living safely or living a life that is easy. Maybe for you, speaking out is easy. You've already shared your faith with someone this year, and January is not even 2 weeks old. Maybe you're fearless. You've already planned your overseas mission trip for 2019. You're tempted in some other way to disobey. We're all tempted. faith always has a cost. When I was a young man, teenage years up to my early 20s, I had a mixed record of obedience, and I probably do now as well. There are temptations that I have now, but I'm going to tell you about those from 30 years ago. My idea of what a man should be when I was 14, 15, 16, at that time, I had a picture in my mind of what a man is supposed to be. And that picture led me to play high school football and a little bit of college football. My idea of what a man is supposed to be at that time led me to enlist in the Army and go through Army, Infantry, Basic, and Advanced Individual Training. Part of my commitment to Christ, part of my identity as a Christian, just a part of it, was to stay a virgin as long as I wasn't married. And I kept that commitment. However, in the locker room and in the barracks, a whole lot of bragging goes on. Usually in vulgar terms. Guys talking about the women they'd been with. In those conversations, I tried to sink back to the shadow, stay as quiet as I could, but the quiet guy always gets noticed. Inevitably, somebody would look at me with a wry smile and say, "What about you, Tenant?" Well, my commitment to sexual purity wasn't tempted, but my commitment to honesty was. Sometimes I said, "I'm a Christian. I'm waiting for marriage." And that would surely bring some teasing. But most of the time, if I made a statement like that, my teammates or fellow soldiers would respect me. Other times, one specific time, I was asked, "Tenant, you're awfully quiet. Haven't you been with a woman?" That was an opportunity to share my faith. That was an opportunity to obey and tell the truth. And with that opportunity, I lied. I said, "Of course I have." Instead of representing Jesus, I thought lying would make things easier on me in that situation. I broke one of the 10. "You will not bear false witness." I had already made the first two decisions. I had decided that God was absolutely my authority. I had decided I would know what God has to say. I had read the Bible, and I knew what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do, was telling me to do, in that moment. I had not made the third decision, the decision that life with God was worth the cost. Now, since that time, God has forgiven me of the sin of lying and the greater sin of failing to be a witness and the greater sin still of knowing what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do and doing the opposite. God has forgiven me, and I've received the forgiveness. God has given me additional chances to tell the truth and be a witness, and I've done that. It takes a second chance and a third chance and a hundredth chance from God, and God gives those chances. And on the second and third and hundredth chance, I decided that the cost, I might get teased for being a 30-year-old virgin, was worth it. Of course, I've been tempted in numerous other ways, and succeeded to represent God and obey God at some times, and failed at others. And my decision to obey God's teaching about sexual purity and truth-telling, that's nothing next to the obedience that Joseph had to show in life-or-death moments. John and Jesus, they obeyed to the death. What I did was nothing compared to them. But God's not comparing me to them. God's not comparing you to anyone. God meets us in our moments of obedience, and God is with us in our moments of failure. I had shame. Even in the moment, I had shame when I lied about my experiences in order to fit in with the other soldiers in basic training. The Holy Spirit let me sit in that embarrassment, but was with me the whole time God gave me grace and additional opportunities when those opportunities arose. God emboldened me to be a truth teller and to be someone more concerned with my identity in Christ than with how others felt about me. Looking back at those times, I have gratitude. Gratitude that God was with me, that God emboldened me. What matters most now, here, in this place, at this time, on this Sunday morning, early in 2019, is your story, your walk with God this year. So first, decide. Decide that God is God, the ultimate authority, not just the ultimate authority of the universe, because that's easy to say. Yes, God is God of the universe, the stars are a long way away. Decide that God is ultimate authority and Lord of your life. Second, decide to know what God says. Read the Bible a lot, all the time. Study it with other believers. Those are the first two decisions. The third one is the toughest one. Decide that whatever the cost, you'll obey, you'll live God's way. The third decision is hard because of the ways we get tempted. And what tempts me now at 48 is different than what tempted me at 18. I honestly don't care what most people think about me now. I just don't. I was so worried about that at 18. But I'm tempted in other ways. And what tempts me is going to be different than what tempts you. But we all get tempted. We don't have the willpower to resist. We need the Holy Spirit's help. I talked earlier about disciplines of awareness. The spiritual disciplines are things that we do to condition ourselves to receive the grace of God. We're not going to resist temptation because we practice spiritual disciplines and we become so strong. We're not strong. We do spiritual disciplines to position our bodies and our minds and our spirits so we're ready and open to receive the grace of God, the Holy Spirit filling us to help us resist. So I talked about disciplines of awareness that help us see God in our everyday lives, that make us aware. Now we also need disciplines of obedience. And just as the things that tempt you are going to be different than the things that tempt me, the disciplines that work for you might be different than your friend or your neighbor or for me. But you can think about disciplines that condition you to receive God's grace. I'm going to offer one suggestion. This is a suggestion of a discipline of obedience. Bring to mind what tempts you. Do not talk about temptation in the abstract. Yes, we all need to resist temptation. Well, yeah. But bring to mind the specific one or two temptations. I wouldn't think of more than two. Start with one or two temptations. The specific times and places where you're tempted to do things your way and forget about God. And you don't need to write this down because you'll remember, because you know what's hard for you. So bring to mind these specific temptations. You don't need to write it down, but you do need to name it. We need to name what tempts us. One or two temptations in specific areas of life. Now, commit every day to pray for a minute, two, three, five at the most, specifically about these temptations. I recommend praying longer than that for other things. But 1 to 5 minutes about this specific temptation every day. Same time of the day, every day at noon, every day at 4, whenever it is, you're thinking of this specific temptation and you're praying for God. First, confessing to God that it's hard to resist in this area. Second, asking God for help in resisting. Don't miss a day. Finally, at some point every month, every 30 days, review. Identify moments when that temptation came up and be honest in your review. If you gave in and disobeyed and turned away from God, then in your time of reviewing, confess. Lord, I failed in that moment. Because when we confess our failures and come before God broken, that's when we're ready to receive grace. And receive the grace. Receive the forgiveness. Let God take your sin away. Yes, it's embarrassing and it hurts. But you don't have to hold on to it. God will take that. That's what the cross is about. So receive that grace. If in your review time you succeeded and with the Holy Spirit's help resisted the temptation and stayed with God and kept your focus on God, celebrate. Thank God, praise God for God's willingness to walk with you. Every day praying about that temptations, every month reviewing how the month went. God helps us obey. We practice the spiritual disciplines to position ourselves so that we're ready and willing to receive the love and grace and help God has for us. I can tell you from my own experience, deciding it's worth it to obey God is hard sometimes, but brings real joy. In those times, I failed to obey, but then confessed, I received forgiveness. And the life I have in Christ is not one I would trade for anything. There's no greater joy than the joy to be found walking in the light. God wants that joy for you. God wants your life to be marked by joy. He holds it out to you because He loves you. Make the decision to follow Christ and walk in His light. Amen. Well, this is a time of response in our worship service. We have folks at the front and back who will pray with you if things are going on and you need someone to pray with you. This is also a time in our worship service if you want to make the decision to accept Christ into your life and tell the church, I today declare that I'm a Christian and I'm coming for baptism. You're invited to do that. Or if you're a believer and you've been attending a while but never joined the church, you can come tell me at this time. The Spirit told me today, today's the day to become a church member. Whether you're coming to declare your faith or join the church or just ask for prayer, this is a response time. Some churches call it, we don't have an altar, but they call it the altar call. And that's what this is. So would you stand? We'll all sing. And if you need to respond in any way or just kneel at the steps and pray, you're invited to do that.
Would y'all be seated for just one moment? Judith, come on up. I want to introduce to you Judith Gochera. She worshiped with us over the Christmas holidays, and this is her second Sunday, and she wants to be a member of our church. She lives here in Carrboro. She's already a baptized believer, so I'm going to meet with her this week, and then we'll schedule a time when we can hear her testimony of faith, and she'll become a member of our church. So would you welcome Judith into our church family? You can sit down. And I'm going to turn it back over to Starlin to close the service.